Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yet again, Merry Christmas. Very good. We've got one more day after today. Tomorrow is the feast of the baptism of the Lord. And then on Tuesday, ordinary time begins. And yes, that's the time when the earworm in my head is, it's not easy being green until the 14th of February, which is Ash Wednesday this year. So guys, you don't have to observe. In fact, you can't observe Valentine's Day because it's a day of fast and abstinence. So the church has your back this year. It is fitting that today is still the Christmas season because we continue to reflect upon what we have learned about our Lord's incarnation and his birth. And it would do well for us to reflect upon the first chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, where we learn that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that further, he is not only the Word, but he is the light of the world, a light which the darkness tried to overcome but was unable to. And he is light not just for the sons and daughters of Abraham, but for the entire human race. He is the divine light, the very presence of God, which shines forth for all men. So that our Lord came not simply to pay the debt of our sin, though he did that. He came not simply to open the gates of heaven for us, but he did that. But he also came to reveal to us as completely as is possible in this world, the very nature of God and God's will for us. And this universal and particular revelation began with the Magi. We heard the story in today's Gospel about how Magi came from the East. And because of reason, because of their learning, they saw a star rising in the East and they knew that it foretold the birth of the newborn king of the Jews. And they went to the place where you would expect to find the newborn king of the Jews, the royal palace in Jerusalem. And instead, they found the monster there, Herod the Great. But they also found faith. They found what had been revealed by God concerning the coming of the Messiah. They found this from the priests and the scribes of the law and learned that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And so following this gift of faith, they came to Bethlehem and they found the child and his mother and they bowed down and they worshiped. And they gave gifts. Gifts which reflected back what had been revealed to them about the Christ. That first he was a king, so they gave the gift of gold, a very kingly gift. Then they gave a priestly gift, frankincense, the very same incense that we use here in church, which foretold and revealed that Jesus is the eternal high priest. And then they gave a very strange gift to give to a newborn child, myrrh, a spice which was used for embalming. And this gift foretold that he was the Savior who would die for the sins of the people. What a wonderful revelation to these Gentiles, to these heathens, to these peoples of the nations. And it was the beginning of the perfect and complete revelation of God in Christ. Prior to this, God had in fact revealed himself to all peoples in a fragmentary and partial way through his creation, so that when you look at creation, you come to realize that there must be a creator, someone who created all things. But more than that, to know more than that about God, he himself has to show it to you. And through the prophets, he showed it to the children of Israel. He gradually educated them about God's will for his people and prepared them for the coming of the Savior, for the coming of Christ. And when, in the fullness of time, Christ came, he reveals God perfectly through his words, through his deeds, in his very person. He shows us who God is and what God's plan for us is. And Christ himself entrusted this showing, this revelation, divine revelation, revelation of God, he entrusted this to his church. You know, some people seem to think that before Jesus ascended into heaven, he passed out pocket New Testaments. Now, that's not what he did. He entrusted his revelation to his church, to his apostles. And he told them to go forth into the world and to preach this good news to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and neither to add to it nor to subtract from it or to change it in any way. Now, some of this apostolic preaching we find in sacred scripture, most especially within the Gospels, which record the words and deeds of our Lord. But sacred revelation is also found in sacred tradition. Together, this sacred tradition and sacred scripture are divine revelation. They are the Gospel. This is why it is so important that when we read sacred scripture, and we should, that we read it with the mind of the church. Otherwise, we're only getting part of the story. This revelation has been given to the church to guard and to promote, but never to alter. No person, no priest, no bishop, not even the Pope himself, can add to or subtract from or change in any way the gospel of Christ. If anyone ever says, I've got something new, or the church had it all wrong up until 1965, run from them. They are lying. Instead, we need to bow down before the gospel and to let it form our hearts and minds, because it is true wisdom that comes from God and leads us to God. We need to be like the Magi, who in discovering Christ, bow down before him, learn from him, and give to him all that they have. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.